You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hour number three. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by mortgagestogo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgagestogo.ca. Bottom of the hour, we get Matt Rose excited about the Paris 2024 Olympic Summer Games.
Was that August?
88 days away.
That doesn't help me at all.
Well, there's 31 days.
Two and a half months.
July 26th to August 11th.
It's going to be hot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The basketball tournament is going to be bananas.
That I am excited for.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited to see if Canada can
medal. They're literally saying this is the best international basketball tournament that'll be ever held.
Wait till it's in LA in 2028.
Just excited to watch that Canada USA game.
Mm.
Well, I don't think they're in the same.
If we get it,
if we get it,
I don't think.
No, it would have to be in the knockout stages,
which would be incredible. LeBron, Steph.
So what do they got? A tough group.
Well, yeah, every group's tough.
Every two groups.
Every team has superstar players. I think they play Spain.
They're with Australia and then...
Oh, crikey!
Either, and then, Spain.
Joe Ingles.
Spain and Greece.
Oh. So. Giannis, I don't know if he's going to play. Yes, but Stubbs. I'm going to watch my Australia play on the golf course, mate. Yes, but Stubbs.
The golf could be fun. Yeah. I enjoyed watching that
golf.
Last year.
Yeah,
that's
there
last
too.
Time they did
Brooke
the
Henderson.
Canada's got a threat.
Yeah.
They still haven't chosen who the men are going to be yet because they are neck and neck.
It's tight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's real close.
Yeah, it's tight. And I think they're having a mixed event this year for golf or is it in 4 years? I think it's in 4 years they're having the
when
mixed.
They come back to L.A.?
Yeah. I think they're going to have, so like Brooke Henderson can team
yeah.
with
Yeah,
daughters.
It's just men and women's individual.
Yeah, I think they're doing the mixed next Olympics, which is fun.
Yeah. I actually wish that they did more of those type of events like between the two tours, actually.
Well, they do that in curling, too. Like, they have the mixed event.
Yeah.
Canada won a gold medal.
This past December, they had one, but it was really, like, low-key. Like, it wasn't really advertised that much. And, yeah, it was... I don't even remember who won, frankly, who the tandems were. But
I'm excited for Donovan Bailey in studio tomorrow. And our intern, Gregor, will have get you hyped up.
Yeah.
For the 2024. We've given him free creative reign. He just has 30 seconds. 30 seconds to get you jacked.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt.
It's always fun to talk to our next guest.
It's going to be a tight
30. Luke Gazdick, NHL on Sportsnet. Mitzoff Podcast, former National Hockey Leaguer himself. Looking all dapper on television last night, waking up for us here early on the Atlas Beats and Sports Bar guest hotline. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the kind words. I love that suit last night too. I don't know how it comes across. I think it's called Rust. Mm. That was one of the A suits for sure.
How much input do you have in on what you're wearing?
Oh, good question. It depends on the night. Last night was a hockey night in Canada night, so the our head stylist Deb, she tends to have the last call for nights like that. During the week, there's a little more flexibility. I mean, like, it's pretty cool. It's probably the coolest thing about having the job is, like, all the clothes and the suits. And if I walk in and I want to wear a certain color or something, obviously, they just kind of curate an outfit to my request. It's kind of a team effort.
So what are you wearing, flip-flops and shorts on the way into the studio?
Casual.
Yeah.
Not flip-flops and shorts weather here yet, but... yeah, super casual, and then get all dolled up at the studio.
I sent out a poll question yesterday afternoon. I want to get your thoughts on it. Who has been worse so far in these playoffs, Connor Hellebuyck or Mitch Marner?
Oh my god, what a question! Well, I was in the building Saturday night for the Leafs Bruins game. So I got a firsthand look at Mitchie, but I'm going to say Connor Hellebuyck.
Mm.
I don't want to say, you know, he's been absolutely awful, but it's just not the Hellebuyck that I think we've come to know and expect. It's been one of the more rather disappointing storylines in the playoffs, I think, is a Jets team that that I thought was going to have some higher aspirations here. They have not been able to keep up with the pace of Colorado, and Hellebuck hasn't been able to solve any of their guys. And I got assigned that series on the desk. So I've been following it pretty closely. And I just think with Toronto, it's more of a team thing. Mitch hasn't been great. I think he's injured personally. It looks like he has no jump. But I'll say Hellebuck just because I think expectations were maybe even higher for him.
What did you make of the Jets players kind of calling out how they're playing and how they're unable to shut down the Avalanche? And then Rick Bowness firing back saying, hey, stop taking penalties. This is the second time we've kind of seen the players take shots at the coach and vice versa. Like, how does that play in the dressing room, Luke?
Well, it's just frustrating. Starting to boil over, which is understandable. Honestly, this Colorado team, it's just crazy that they outscored them 17-4, including the last game that was 7-0 right before the season ends. So you're going in feeling good, and this app to switch. Like, they just found another gear. It was like they were just cruising into the finish, waiting for playoff hockey. And I just think there's like a number of Jets guys that have not stepped up to the plate. And it's probably a lot of internal frustrations as well. But it was like the plot line from game one, what we were saying was, if they want to play this north-south track meets foul hockey with the Avs and turnover continue to take penalties, this series is going to be over real quick. And that's playing out right in front of our eyes, is they haven't been able to make any adjustments to the way they're playing with their discipline. So I think that's just frustrations starting to set on both sides in that locker room.
What's been the biggest positive impact that Mitch Marner's had on the Leafs in this postseason?
You guys are trying to get me to say bad stuff about Mitch.
I asked you what positive things he's done. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I just don't think there's not a ton of positives. There is not a ton of positives. Absolutely nasty goal he scored on one leg the other night. That is definitely a positive. He just hasn't brought much to the table. It's just so disappointing. I'm a Leafs fan, too. Like, I grew up watching this team, and every time the playoffs come around, we seem to, you know, get really excited. Me and all my buddies get fired up for it, and it's just kind of the same story with a different roster every year. And I just think for the salary Mitch is making, it's got to be able to drive your own line and produce. And I think I always want guys to play more physical. I think that's a huge thing in Toronto, is that they think he's soft and they want him to play this like rough and tough Darcy Tucker brand style of hockey, but I've just come to terms with that's not Mitch. Like, that's not him. He just doesn't have it in his DNA. But if you're not going to play that way, then you got to score. Like, you got to produce. You got to do something. And so just neither of those things have been there in his game. And so when I look at positives out of 16, it's that really nice goal he scored on Saturday night. But past that, there hasn't been a ton to give him flowers about.
Is this more about what the Bruins are doing to the Leafs or the Leafs just being inadequate?
Honestly, I think it has a lot to do with the Bruins. There was so much discourse in this city about, you know, there was pictures of the 12 forwards in the roster and being like, if we can't beat this team, then, you know, we don't deserve anything. Like, who are these guys? And the playoffs are such a great time for fans to be able to see other teams in the league that they might have not watched a lot during the year. And I think Boston is one of those teams that people fell victim to in the sense in Toronto of probably only seeing them play when they were playing the Leafs. They played 78 more games. And this is a team I covered a lot this year. I watched them do the Western swing, obviously, versus you guys and Edmonton and Calgary, I'm sorry, and Vancouver. And it's a really good hockey team. Like, every line plays the same way. Most of the game, I can't even tell what line's on the ice because they all just compete and battle. They have two of the best goaltenders in hockey, and it doesn't matter who they throw in there. Swayman is a freak. He will not let anything in. So athletic. And I just think I think Toronto, the team and the city, underestimated the Bruins because they just shut you down. They give you no room to work with out there. every time you get the puck, there's someone tracking you or there's someone on top of you. It doesn't help the Leafs with their power play going 0-for in the series. But that's just another makeup of Boston's game. It's just, they're not going to give you anything for free. I think that's what the Leafs expect sometimes, that, you know, they think it's just going to happen just because they're, you know, have the man advantage, or just because they're the better team and have scored more goals. They think it's just going to happen. And the Bruins aren't going to let that happen. So I think it's a wake up call for the Buds.
Luke, what happens first, the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, or Craig Berube's named the new head coach of the Leafs?
I'm not going to lie, I'm not an insider. I never claimed to be. I claim to be an analyst, but I am hearing his name a lot in different circles in the NHL. I think there's a couple teams that are waiting to see what happens here in the playoffs. If there's some early exits with a couple teams, there's going to be a couple really probably good jobs up for grabs. But that's a name that I've just heard a lot in different teams and different scenarios. I would say the second round will end first. I think it sounds more like it's a situation where he's going to have the pick of where he wants to go. Honestly, this is a really popular hire, it sounds like. I thought Buffalo was going to be all over him. Not sure what happened there. Apparently he said no to Buffalo, or I don't know if he didn't want to go there, or if they just said, we're just going to bring Lindy back right away. That was the quickest, probably laziest hire I've seen out of an NHL team in a while. But Berube's not going to, you know, there's going to be a long list of suitors for him.
Luke Gazdick, Hockey Central, Hockey Night Canada analyst for Sportsnet 2 and the Mitsoff podcast, joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan. Was that Canucks win yesterday more about Vancouver storming back or Nashville just blowing it?
That was like the perfect combination of both. I think, you know, I watched the game, obviously, but I walked in during the third period when Friedman and Bieksa and Rudy were all in there kind of breaking it down in further detail. And Kev was saying it best, was that, you know, Nashville was just sitting back. And I think that what was respectable about LA last night was they didn't do that. Like, they pushed all the way till the end with the Oilers, whereas Nashville just kind of wanted to sit back and just hold the lead rather than continue to push. And I think Vancouver was just really opportunistic, and Besser scores a couple of huge ones late. I'm going to say it's probably more Nashville just giving that game away. That's one that, if they, or when they eventually lose this series, they're going to look back on and say, man, that's probably the turning point for us.
If Tampa gets knocked out by the Florida Panthers tonight, is that a team in need of drastic changes or mild around the edge changes?
Good question. I'll be on the panel for this one tonight. And I just expected so much more from Tampa. I don't even know if I expected them to win the series. There were a number of guys over at the studio that chose them to win. I didn't know if they were going to pull it off, but I thought this would go further than five games. They still have the core attached, but it feels like there's a disconnect from the Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning that we saw. And I don't want to say the end of the dynasty, but if Stamkos decides to move on, that kind of will feel like the end of the Lightning dynasty. I wouldn't say they're in need of a major, major upgrade, because I just don't know how much they can do. They have no draft capital, very few prospect players in their cupboard left. Bassey's getting older in net. Their whole core is getting older. So I just don't know how much more you can do outside of adding some depth players, maybe re-signing, you know, a Duclair or a Dumba that you brought in at deadline. But I think a lot of that is going to focus on Stammer and where he eventually ends up, and whether that's back in Tampa or it's testing the free agency market.
We've seen some great finishes so far throughout the playoffs. I'm wondering which one's been your favorite so far. We've had the Hurricanes with the two goals in 9 seconds to come back, the Canucks comeback win yesterday, the Stars overtime winner to keep that series alive, the Isles double overtime winner. Is there something that stands out to you from the first couple weeks of the playoffs?
Well, I'll tell you what, the Canucks game was fun yesterday, but if anyone stayed up on Saturday night for the Dallas and Vegas game, that was an incredible hockey game from start to finish, and especially the end. Dallas was putting on a full court press in the third period. Logan Thompson made probably five or six incredible saves. I think he had four breakaway saves when all was said and done. And they get to overtime, and it's just back and forth. And Dallas is kind of one of those teams, too, that I hope people are watching. And I know they're late starts and stuff. And I really hope they're going to squeak through, because if you haven't watched a lot of Stars hockey, it is one of the most fun teams to watch in the NHL. Like, in a moment's notice, snap of the fingers, if you turn the puck over, it is down the ice on a stretch pass, and it's two-on-ones, and it's in the back of your net before you know what's going on. And that's what happened with Wyatt Johnson to end it. They couldn't solve Thompson all game, and the young buck comes down and pulls a sick, just forehand, backhand, short side, right under the bar. It was just a great hockey game. So a little bit of recency bias for me, but I'll go with that that Stars and Golden Knights game on Saturday night.
Luke, I heard last night after the Oilers 1-0 win, where Stuart Skinner arguably plays his best game as an Edmonton Oiler in the postseason, but it always makes me kind of chuckle when guys go, we can play any style we want. The Edmonton Oilers can do what they want. Knobloch's like, great, we won a tight defensive battle. Luke, I don't know about you, but I thought they were kind of outplayed in that game, and if it wasn't for Skinner, this series is probably 2-2 heading back to Edmonton. I think it's funny when players say we can play any type of game we want, but I don't think they want to play that game again in Edmonton coming up tomorrow night.
Yeah, I don't think it's something they prefer to do every night, but I think games are going to start trending in that direction as we continue. Can't outscore your opponents every night, which is something they love to do. 7-4, and I know it's a 5-4 loss, but anytime you get above the 4-goal threshold, that's the definition of trying to outscore your opponent. If you score 4 goals, you should always, always win a hockey game. Coaches were very, very, very strict about that when I played. But I would say that without Stu last night, yeah, that's a different ball game. He made a ton of great saves throughout the hockey game. They probably, at the end of the day, didn't deserve to win that one. 13 shots on net is not a lot. The scoring chances were minimum. Anytime you can win a game without Connor, Leon, or Hyman scoring, you're running out of that building. But I think it's a really good thing for their confidence and for Stu to have playing this way. Because I've said from day one, this team will go as far as Stu Skinner wants to take them. If he gives them even above average goaltending, they'll have a chance to win the Stanley Cup just because they can score goals. But I'll not disagree with you, but I will say that it's encouraging to see them win a 1-0 game. You just don't see it very often.
The Capitals get swept by the Rangers. One of the talking points out of this series was the lack of production from Alex Ovechkin. And Spencer Carberry talked about it after yesterday's game, saying that the mental and physical toll that it took for him just to get that team in the playoffs really exhausted him. The tank was essentially empty when the playoffs rolled around. Have you ever seen something like that in your playing days, where someone just grabs a team, puts it on their back for a couple of weeks, gets them into the postseason, and then the tank's empty?
Oh, man, not off the top of my head, and not like Washington did. I mean, it was just so crazy watching down the stretch what was happening with the East wild card, and could have been any of probably five teams, right? Washington even deserved to be there in the first place. I know we talk, or there is a lot of talk about the goal differential and minus 46 or whatever it was for the Capitals going in. I think, I don't know if Carver should have said it aloud, but the other night when he said, you know, we're just, you know, we don't have the offense. Like, we're just outmatched offensively. It's pretty telling. They really don't. Like, they don't have that same goal scoring that they're used to. And Ovi kind of bullied and willed their way into the playoffs, but they got a ton of help from other teams throughout that stretch. There was nobody playing good hockey, really, until call it a week and a half left in the season, when a couple teams started deciding to win hockey games. So they probably shouldn't have even been there in the first place. It was an admirable effort from them. But, you know, I think a sweep was fairly predictable. I was hoping they would take out one, but no, nothing off the top of my head of a guy just, you know, literally throwing the team on his back towards the end. But that's a good Ranger team, too. I think they're going to do some damage. They're going to do some damage in the East. I really like the Canes, but that'll be a really next a good series there.
Well, how important is it for him to get the sweep? Like, obviously, the Canes can end this series tomorrow, but for them to be done in four before they get Carolina, that's got to be pretty good for New York.
Yeah, they'll be feeling good, and they have home ice too, right? So they're not going anywhere. I think that's a huge thing, is they're just chilling in New York right now, waiting, hoping that the Isles try to make a series out of this. But I have the Canes personally coming out of the East. They're the team that I saw the most from out of the Eastern Conference this year. Their style of play is like no one else in hockey. They're another team that's really fun to watch, creative offensively. If they get some goaltending, sky's the limit for them. But I think I undersold this Ranger team for a long time too. Really good goaltending, and it was almost like that was a warm-up series for them. Like this isn't a Dallas and Vegas, and this isn't a series where they just beat the crap out of each other for 6 to 7 games and then have to limp into the next round. Like they are cruising. The Rangers are cruising into round two, so no travel and just waiting to have the next team on a platter is probably the best thing that they could ask for.
I asked the question last week. I want to get your opinion on this, Luke. What's the take around the league among guys with Brent Burns potentially chasing a Stanley Cup here?
I have never once heard a bad thing about Brent Burns. I'll tell you that first and foremost. I knew a couple Sharks guys that played with him for a long time. Very unique guy, but the longevity that he's shown, and I said this year, he might be playing some of the best hockey of his career right now with the Hurricanes. It was like he's just rejuvenated under Rod Brindamore, all that the Canes play. It's just really impressive what he's been able to accomplish over a career. He was a guy I don't want to say of, but man, he hit me with basically like the old school hip check right in front of the Sharks bench one night when I was with Edmonton, and he literally snapped my elbow in half. I tore my elbow to UCL. It's what pitchers get Tommy John for it. And he hit me so hard in front of the Sharks bench one night. Joe Thornton leaned over and said, "Hard, eh, kid?" I remember like limping over to the bench. And yeah, he was a scary guy to play against. Like one of those guys who, me as a forechecker, loved finishing checks, and I would finish a check, and if you didn't get on your horse, he was beating you back up. He wanted to join the rush, and getting into net battles, like if the high with a puck and start skating to the net, he's waiting there for a box out with his stick up in cross check mode. It was tough nights against the Sharks and against Brent Burns back there. He's a unique and special player, and been pretty fun to see how far he's been able to take this thing.
How did Thornton and Burns play with those giant beards, Luke, in the NHL?
I had a similar one early in my career, and then again late in my career, but I didn't play as them. So I don't know how they personally did it. They were always fun to skate around with and see them up close and personal. But I still don't know how they even got the chin straps up. I'm not sure how the helmets were flying off all the time. Those were always fun games, to be honest, playing the Sharks. It was one of the rinks that I've talked about this on TV before. It was one of those rinks I had like a mental block in. Like I just never played well there. Every time we got off the bus, I was like, if I can get out of here, -1, you know, maybe get a shot on net, like I'm happy. Maybe we get the win. But between Thornton and Burns and Marlowe and Couture at his prime, like they were electric, and it was a fun rocking building to go play in. Those are, especially playing against Jumbo Joe, like those were cool moments for me.
Luke Gazdick, it's cool to watch you on Hockey Night in Canada. Luke Gazdick, Sportsnet NHL analyst, Mitsoff podcast, former National Hockey Leaguer. Luke, always a pleasure. Thanks for this, pal.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
There he is on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Could you imagine getting hit with a hip check so hard it blows out your elbow?
Like, completely?
Not good.
Wrong direction, UCL. Ugh, the worst.
Yeah.
Injuries like that.
Not good.
I don't handle those well.
No. With a hip like, check, too.
Like, even watching Mikhail Sergachev out there, I'm like, gross. How are you out there?
Yeah.
What do they do to you?
Yep. That's why I'm never against guys getting all the money. Because, man, they put their bodies on the line every time they're out there.
Yeah.
Like, look at that story. Luke was a journeyman guy fighting, tooth and nail to stay in the league. And he gets one hip check and blows out his elbow. You think that helps him stay in the league? No. Absolutely not. Give him all the money.
Kron can't even use his knees properly.
Yeah, he has to golf where his legs are straight to put the tee in, put the old peg in the ground.
Yeah.
His legs are straight.
He bends at the hip instead.
Yes. It's not good. It's not natural looking. Let me tell you that.
And he didn't get the DiPietro contract.
Nope.
Too bad.
Yep.
Would have been nice.
Straight ahead, our lock of the day coming up. End of the month's coming.
I already got mine. I already know what it is.
Okay. And
not to say that I'm not usually prepared for the lock of the day, but I am extra prepared today.
And our intern, Gregor.
Nice save.
Is going to get Maddie hyped,
uh-huh.
as the kids say. It's going to be fire. The 2024 Paris Summer Games, 88 days away. He's going to do a 30-second feature all week in the 8:30 window.
Countdown is on. Mangiapane days away.
Yes. He's going to do a 30-second feature to get you jacked up for the Summer Olympics.
Or maybe
because you're not a big
what?
Because you're not a big Olympics guy. We got Donovan Bailey, the world's fastest man, in studio tomorrow.
Yeah, that's cool.
Super excited for that. So we want, hey, Olympics are around the corner. Going to be a good one.
I would have liked the Olympics if they were here. That would have been cool. But okay. Like to sit around during like a beautiful summer day and like watch pole vault.
Why not in pole vault?
Because it's the first thing that came to my mind.
Okay.
What else do you want me to rip? Gymnastics? Javelin?
Gymnastics is very popular at the Olympics.
Yeah, it is.
Very popular.
I'm not going to sit at
home. What
about
equestrian?
Nope.
Do you like watching
dressage?
Nope.
Dressage where the horse dances?
I do kind of like when the horses
dance.
Dance
for me, horsey? You like that?
But I just need it in social clips. I'm never going to sit down and watch the broadcast. I like that you're doing your horse sounds for us. That was good in the background.
Yeah, I like in London, the number one rated thing in the United States was archery because of the Hunger Games.
Ugh.
It was.
Everdeen.
Yeah, it was. Archery was like super highly rated. People were like, yes! Pistol? There's pistol firing?
That, like, once again, like... If you're asking me, like, would I rather, like, go play golf or, like, even go hang out at Stampeder's practice in the sun rather than watch that?
Swimming? Swimming's always fun.
What about race walking?
No.
I always wanted to be a race walking judge. Be one of those guys who sit along the route and just see if you're cheating, if you're running. Don't you?
Move those hips.
Are short legs an advantage in speed walking?
Probably.
You'd be pretty good at that?
Well, no, because you don't take as long as stride, right?
Well, I don't know. I was just thinking short and steady.
Does it pay to be short?
Okay. I like how you do.
It felt like you shoehorned that, wouldn't it? Hey?
Yeah, I felt like he purposely had to jump on the radio to give me a blast about my short
Roast
femurs.
Roast was last week, bro.
My short femurs. Yeah, I got short femurs. When they were handing them out, I slept in that day. I get it. Thanks, GVP.
Yours are on discount.
Yeah. I slept in. I'm like, I get these ones.
You got the inflation femurs. You're like,
Did they
used to make these bigger?
Yeah, it's like the Simpsons episode where Bart's late for gym classes and he has to take ballet. Like that one.
Yeah.
But instead, I got a short femur.
Mm.
All right.
It's going to be tethered swimming for you.
Should have been.
Yeah. How's
yes.
Why is it tethered? What are you tethered to?
Yeah.
A rope.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What
that
is
was,
this?
That was the Simpsons episode.
Like, oh.
Ralph, he's
yeah,
tethered
swimming. it sounds fun.
Or it's TS for you.
Yeah. How's intern Gregor doing, GVP, on his feature?
I think he's doing good. Just give me the thumbs up.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
He's ready to roll.
We'll do that. Lock of the day next. Big Show, Russick and Rowe, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's a Big Show, Russick and Rowe, Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by mortgages2go.ca. Always. The lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgages2go.ca. We'll wrap up today's edition of the program with our lock of the day, courtesy of Metal Supermarkets Calgary. Also, our intern, Gregor, who's new. He's on an 11-week journey as an intern here at Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
A quest for employment and learning.
Like, I don't know what being an intern here entails.
I don't
know. I will say they do a lot more than they did when I was doing it.
A lot of did you have to do coffee runs like I did when I was an intern?
I did it once for the morning show here.
Oh, no.
There used to be a Tim Hortons over there. I walked all the way over there in the cold of January.
I used to have to get Nick Kyprios coffee back in the day.
Yeah.
Him and Darren Millard.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get coffee for
Doug McClain.
Bob McCowan.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Large tea.
Yeah, it sounds lots of fun.
Large tea, 2 milk, 1 sugar.
A lot of personalities back then.
Yeah. Stephen Brunt drank his coffee black.
That makes sense.
Gord Kirk, who used to be the lawyer for Eric Lindros and his agent, had the most obnoxious coffee order of all time. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. Medium soy milk latte with sugar-free vanilla from Starbucks.
Get out of here.
It's obnoxious.
You're going to get coffee and you like it.
Yeah. No, thanks. I know. I have to go not only to Tim Hortons.
Yeah, I got to go to Starbucks.
For
and pay more.
Mr. Medium soy milk latte with sugar-free vanilla.
People like what they like.
Yeah.
Who cares?
It's obnoxious.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's obnoxious.
Yeah, you were an intern. He probably didn't even drink it.
He just threw it in my face.
Yeah. As soon as he left the room, he's like, look, guys, he did it again. And he just yosses it in the trash.
I did that. But yeah, Gregor's going to have, going to get Maddie hyped up for the 2024 Paris Olympics. And I had a Scooter Scoops idea. I was thinking about this yesterday.
Oh, I love a little Scooter Scoop. I actually charged it up on the weekend. Full bat.
So, in honor of Donovan Bailey coming in studio, Maddie scoffed when I said something on Friday's show. I think it was off air. I said that
John Cooper and the Lightning should part ways.
No. You're sounding a texter. I said, could there be a possibility this could be all coming to an end?
Which is okay. That's fine.
Yeah. Maybe John Cooper decides to leave. I don't know. I'm just saying. Maybe.
All right.
So I don't think there's any question. It's not even up for debate, but this is something you might have to take to the streets of Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Bailey winning gold at the 96 Atlanta Olympics, where he broke the world record in the 100 meter and was crowned world's fastest man in the shadow of Ben Johnson's doping scandal 8 years earlier in Seoul, is the biggest moment in Canadian sports history. And I don't even think it's particularly close. That's what I say. Matty is shaking his head, but it's the biggest moment in Canadian sports. I was going to ask you maybe to go Scooter Scoops tomorrow before Donovan Bailey comes on.
I bet if I go Scooter Scoops, it's going to be the same as when you said everyone will know where Masters is. There's not going to be one person that says Donovan Bailey.
They don't know sports then, because it's Donovan Bailey, and it's not particularly close.
Okay. Not the Summit Series?
Nope.
Really?
No. Yeah, that's close.
I don't think it can be anything hockey related because it's just expected with Canada. It's expected. I know. I know Salt Lake was huge. Ending
Salt
50
Lake,
years.
Crosby's Golden Goal, the Summit Series. That's all there.
Like, what do you mean by biggest?
You're talking
moment?
Individual. The biggest individual athlete.
I'm saying because
on the biggest stage.
It's also it's like music. It really depends on your taste and what you like and what you prefer.
You
but,
how many people
by all means.
Remember 96?
Like I don't remember.
Like, I'm five. Years old when that's happening.
I was three.
I realized that. But there's also a thing called the internet. I wasn't around for 72 and I learned about it.
I know.
So that's an excuse a lot of younger people use now, and I just laugh. I'm like, you know you can read.
Are you able
to read and look at the internet and look at Canadian sports history? Like, you're able to do that.
No, I have
that.
A life. I don't sit at home on the computer tippy-tapping away.
Okay, we're right. But I'm just saying, like, there's things, there's resources where you can learn about these things.
If I wanted to.
And I am saying that particular moment with the world's fastest man being crowned a Canadian and winning the premier event at the Olympics, where arguably it's the best athletic accomplishment to be the fastest man on the planet, that's right there. Mike Weir's win at the Masters
that's big.
Is also a massive moment in Canadian sports. Like Rafters if Canada's men, let's say Canada's men's soccer team went on and won the World Cup, which is insane. That would be the biggest moment globally, like based on all the sports.
So this is
it's
where
the biggest moment,
okay,
in Canadian sports,
like
history.
The biggest moment in the sense that
people around the world know about it, or the biggest moment in the sense that people in Canada know about it?
Both. Yes.
Okay, maybe it is the racing then.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like I said earlier, I think this is very much a every individual person is different. It's very much your taste. Like, when you get into the greatest of all time conversation, I think it's just a waste of air and oxygen, because it totally depends on who you are, where you were at your point in life, your perspective on different things, what you think is important, what you think matters.
Sure.
Like, it's not a yes or no question. So, by all means, probably to some people, the biggest Canadian sports moment. For me, no.
He's in studio tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to that. It's an incredible accomplishment. Oh, it's an incredible accomplishment for Canada. But, I don't know. Biggest sporty moment in Canadian history?
What about Jays going back-to-back?
It's pretty big.
Raptors winning the NBA title.
That was big.
Pretty big.
Raptors winning the NBA title was really big. That was a really big moment. A team that everybody thought was a laughingstock, would never win anything, wins a championship. That's pretty big.
Terry Fox, Marathon of Hope.
That was big, but not being crowned the fastest man in the world. And again, in the shadow of the 88 doping scandal with Ben Johnson, he breaks the world record. And they would have broken the world record in the 4x100 meter if Donovan didn't put his finger up, giving it to the All-Americans, as in we're number one. An incredible accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking Scooter Scoops. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
What is the
it's
biggest
gonna
moment?
It's going to be rainy
is
tomorrow.
It?
Yeah, this week's not going to be great.
Because I was hoping you'd go out there and ask the peeps
it
what they
might
think.
It actually might snow tomorrow.
Jesus. So I was thinking.
Yeah,
I was
not fun.
Move to Calgary,
damn
they
it!
Said. Move to Calgary, they said. So
enjoy
I was hoping.
Of summer.
I was hoping. I was hoping you would ask people what is the biggest moment.
I will do that, but I don't know if tomorrow is going to be a safe day to be ripping the scoot around on the roads of Calgary.
Hey, again,
so if it's getting wet and icy and slick out there.
Great text. Most underrated Canadian sporting event. Daniel Ngali. Ngali. That's how you say his name. Won wrestling gold in Sydney. I remember that. Hardest sport. I remember that back in the day. Justin Bieber at the Celebrity All-Star Game? Maybe not. Yes, Terry Fox is in this conversation. Ross winning the snowboard gold medal, high as a kite. No, he just stunk of weed because he had a lot. He was in the room when they were smoking weed, but he wasn't smoking the weed, which was stupid because how would that help your performance snowboarding?
Drops the heart rate.
Okay, sure. That's what I was hoping you were going to ask.
CBC did a list back in 2017, and they've been forefront of a lot of these moments. They put number one as Paul Henderson's 72 Summit Series winning goal. Donovan Bailey's number two.
Okay.
Jays go back-to-back is number three. Crosby's golden goal is four. Ben Johnson wins for a moment, number five. These are the biggest moments, not the greatest, but biggest moments. Terry Fox and his Marathon of Hope. Gretzky traded to L.A.
That's a big one.
Yeah, but I'm talking like when you win.
Yeah, and Mike Weir winning the Masters isn't.
It's number. It didn't make or not it's not the on their top 15.
Really?
Okay. Oh no, sorry. It is. There it is. Number nine.
Okay.
There it is.
But that was in 2017.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah, like Bianca's won the U.S. Open in this.
That
time.
Was massive too.
Yeah, beating Serena obviously in front of you know that Flushing Meadows. I know Serena was beat up and whatnot, but. You know, that's huge. That's like the biggest tennis title we've ever won.
Mm-hmm.
So
never I thought a Canadian singles player would win a major.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah.
All right. We have Donovan Bailey in studio. I was hoping to do Scooter Scoops tomorrow, but doesn't look like the weather permitting.
We'll
how we have a radio segment that's weather permitting.
We'll put a pin in it, especially in Calgary, right?
Yeah, no. Weather permitting, we'll do a segment on the show. Weather permitting.
I will effort my best.
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
Simon like, Winfield, that was
two,
great.
The other two, if it's like really windy out, like it's not going to be good quality.
Yeah. Women's soccer gold, don't forget that. Yeah,
Tokyo,
that was incredible.
They're defending
it. They're defending it. Mike Weir winning the green jacket, yep. Okay, enough with the Justin Bieber. We get it.
In the 23-24 All-Star game? Yeah, that's a big one.
And we were getting chirped a little bit on the text line about not talking enough about the Oilers.
Oh.
What do you want to say? Great effort last night.
13 yeah. shots. We gave Stewart's,
like in the 6 o'clock hour, we gave Stuart Skinner his flowers. Yeah. He was great last night.
It was really hard. Yeah. We did it.
Yeah, he was great.
He was excellent.
Yeah, he was excellent. And they can play however they want to play.
And they can win sure. the series and move on to play the Canucks, which I think is going to be a fun series, especially if you're from Calgary and you're like, oh, I'm just going to sit back and watch these two fan bases yeah. just rip each other to shreds. That's going to be pleasant for me.
Ooh, and then next round, potentially we see Vegas and Colorado.
Yeah, like
because Dallas again.
Not done on Dallas alive. Yet.
Okay.
I still think they're not done.
They're not done yet. That series, man. Right that on, overtime win, though. All of a sudden, it's 2-1.
You just yeah. start believing. It just takes the one win.
Yeah, that was a bad goal in overtime, too.
Well, like once again, going back to what you said earlier. How many goalies have played in the playoffs so far?
24, which is insane.
That's one of the reasons. Like, but yeah, expansion. One of your favorite points. One of your best points you've ever made on the show.
I've
frankly.
Made a lot of incredible points on the show.
That's
incredible.
Mm-hmm.
All right. made some incredible points. let's get to our intern, Gregor. Yes, Drake. Montreal Screwjob. Yes, wrestling. I don't even think that's a tough one for
that
me.
Is a big moment.
Because it's
an entertainment history.
It's an entertainment history.
Yes. Sure. But let's not get down that rabbit hole. Okay. Our intern Gregor's here. He's here 11 weeks at Sportsnet 960.
Only.
How many weeks are you going to be here on our show?
Two for right now.
Okay.
He'll be joined, I believe, later this week by another intern.
What?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We need two interns on this show?
She's only going to be here for like a couple weeks, so they got to... She's a UFC soccer player, and she's doing communications as well. So,
oh,
yeah,
okay,
gotta all fix them in.
Yeah, just keep hammering the interns in here, keep them busy. All right, maybe we'll pit her 30-second preview with Gregor's 30-second preview.
There you go,
and we'll compete. We'll have them compete like it's the Olympics, and who gets the gold and who gets the silver.
I'll put it in.
I like that idea, Gregor. It's not your turn yet. All right, so earlier on in the show, when we have an intern here, we like to get him to work. They just sit at the afternoon and the daytime show. They just sit here.
They don't watch.
Do yeah.
They sometimes put out a social card.
Yeah, and they sometimes cut audio.
Mm. Yes. Some,
but nothing really gets cut during the day. So, intern Gregor, because Maddie, again, with this Donovan Bailey conversation we just heard, he's not the biggest Olympics guy. He's a little cool to the idea of Paris in 88 days.
Like, it's kind of like the Stampede in the sense that when it finally arrives, like, I'm sure I'll get a little bit crazy about it. But for now, I'm like, not moving the needle. We okay. got NHL playoffs. We got NBA playoffs.
You're not looking that far ahead.
We got to get through Euro before the Olympics.
I like Copa America.
I really like to live in the moment, George. Okay. Present.
Like, Olympics are... They're
like to be present in myself.
They're midway through the summertime. We have lots to go.
But I'm going
to
get
all
you.
All we really have is the moment.
I'm going to get you. And Jacques Villeneuve winning the F1 World Championship. That was a big moment. But he was also driving a computer. Okay, I'm going to get you.
Well, they were a little bit more of a driver car in '97.
Yes, Larry Walker should have won the Lou Marsh that year. Anyway, okay. I'm going to get you hyped up for the Olympics.
Are you?
With intern Gregor.
Really?
Gregor, again, I've given you free reign here, intern Gregor. Do you have 30 seconds? Are you ready? Are you prepared?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so GVP, make sure you time this and immediately cut whatever's going on at the 30-second mark.
This bet is exactly 30 seconds.
Okay.
As soon as the music's done.
Cut his mic if he's still talking.
Okay.
Gregor, you have 30 seconds to get Matty Rose hyped up for the 2024 Paris Summer Olympics. The floor is yours. GVP, get ready to hit the bed. Now.
There's one reason to watch the Olympics this year, and that is Canadian basketball. Right here, this is possibly the best team that we will ever have and have seen. We got MVP candidate Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, star guard Jamal Murray, Lou Dort and Raptors, RJ Barrett and Chris Boucher.
I love Lou
this
Dort.
This is going to be the year that we finally take the crown from the U.S. and snatch the gold. And you got to tune in for that.
Okay.
I was timed out well.
Yep.
And if there is one thing that I am going to be excited for, it is the basketball tournament.
The hoops.
I do like Lou Dort. after watching him in some of the other Canadian basketball. Plus, the Thunder went on, what, a little bit of a run last year, didn't they, in the playoffs? No? Why do I remember him from...
No, you remember Shea Gilgeous-Alexander killing it at the World Cup of basketball.
And Lou was on that team, too? Is that where I remember him from?
And the Cobra himself, Dylan Brooks.
Well, yeah, the Cobra was there, yeah.
Thank you, intern Gregor. Patrick, your thoughts on his 30 seconds?
That was very nice.
Yeah. That's nice.
Got everybody well teed up. I think
informative.
You know, it's going to be tough for Canada because everybody's there.
Okay.
It's not just the World Cup like it was last year. The U.S. has got some horses. Obviously, Greece, Spain, Serbia. They're all going to be threats. Germany won the whole thing last in the World Cup.
Dennis
so they're
Schroeder
a threat. Yeah.
He's the MVP of the
exactly
tournament.
Exactly.
And the Wagner brothers.
He's still a Raptor.
The Wagner brothers.
Wagner. I love saying Mo and Franz Wagner.
Mo and Franz.
Intern Gregor, do you want me to give you some tips, advice?
Oh,
can I be the Russian judge in all of this?
Oh, yeah. Editorial.
Yes. Less opinion. More facts. Tomorrow.
Because you don't know if Canada's this is going to be the best chance. They could have another chance in L.A.
That's true.
That's a good point by you.
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy that. GVP, your thoughts?
It's good. He timed it out well.
Okay.
That's it. Right. Just timed it out well.
But all he cares about back there is the clock.
Exactly. Got to care about the clock. Okay, care about the time.
Someone has to care about the clock around here.
Way to cop out on opinion.
Someone has to.
Okay.
Well, do we need more sports than just basketball in the next one?
Well, no, it's I'm giving him free reign.
Okay.
So he's got to go somewhere else. He can try
the
to talk
Olympics
about the basketball
have like
tournament
a million
again.
Events. I'm sure there can be ones he can find.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So intern Gregor, and then we have another intern, and we'll have two features with both interns.
I will say, more excited about the basketball than I was before.
Up?
More excited than I was before.
Okay, mission accomplished then.
Forgot about Lou Dort.
It's a big one for me. Play the... just hit the meme with George Bush on the aircraft carrier. Mission accomplished.
Now watch this draft.
Watch this draft. It's the best. All right, let's get to the lock of the day. Brought to you by Meadow Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cuts any size and ready fast. Meadow Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. What did we do Friday, Patrick?
Let me check here. Cronner was the only one that hit his in the Jets and Avs over 6.5 because thanks, Colorado. Yeah, and everybody else we hit. Yeah, QPR smoked leads 4-0.
I'm going to go to my soccer's my bread and butter on this. I'm going to go to some Serie A action this afternoon. Genoa hosting Calgary.
Good salami.
Yeah, love me some salami.
Genoa versus Calgary. Calgary.
Calabria.
Genoa 12th in the table. Calgary 14th. Then there's no G.
Sorry, who is it? There's
They're no playing G. the Cavs?
That's not how you say that.
Calgary.
No, there's no G. Calgary.
A calories? Oh, you don't pronounce the G. Okay.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I'm going to take Genoa to win at home. Lock it in.
Bolts are done. Pack it up. Headed back to Tampa. And enjoy your offseason. I'm going to take Reinhardt over a goal, over a half a goal, excuse me, and Matthew Tkachuk over a half a point.
Okay, lock it in.
I will go to Florida and Tampa Bay. I like Steven Stamkos over 3.5 shots.
Ooh, okay.
It's 7.
DVP?
Lakers and Nuggets. Lakers looking to avoid elimination here.
Uh-huh.
They're going to need a big game out of LeBron James. I'm going to take his over 26.5 points.
Okay. Good luck to your Lakers tonight.
They've been leading for 100 minutes in comparison to the Nuggets 45 throughout that series.
That's crazy. Yep. That is absolutely insane.
That's such a Nuggets type of thing. You just hang around and in the fourth quarter, just totally outman you.
The third quarter has just been a nightmare for Los Angeles. They go through a slump where they're trying to outshoot themselves. Like, they can't shoot the three, and they try to shoot themselves out of the slump.
They don't have enough shooters on that
team. Because D'Angelo Russell put up a donut in game three.
Yeah. They don't have enough shooters.
A joke.
The log of the day brought to you by Meadow Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cut to any size and ready fast. Meadow Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. Bless you.
Whoa.
It's a good way to end the show. What do you got coming up on Mucho Big Show?
Ryan Dixon, senior writer for Sportsnet.ca, talk about the Canadian clubs and their postseason journeys. Two are not going so well.
Okay. Donovan Bailey in studio, we hope, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That's at 8:30 tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Looking forward to that. and Stanley Cup playoff action.
Achoo.
Yeah, you all right?
Yeah.
And another intern Gregor Olympics preview for Matty Rose to get him all hyped up.
Yep.
For the 2024 Summer Olympics.
Maybe talk about some triathlon.
Yeah. Maybe some javelin.
Sure.
Shot put.
Can't wait.
Okay. Pole vaulting?
No.
High
jump?
That's
where I draw the line.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Rate, review, subscribe and stuff. That would be cool. If not, that's cool too. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a terrific Monday. New week, new you. Bye.
Bye.
Sit, Ubu. Sit. Good dog.